Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays on the Score.
A round of applause for the guy that actually made Major League Baseball act on accusations that they already had. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until that guy, Mike Fiers, said, hey, this is what's going on and we're mad about it, until a player actually came out and said it, that Rob Manfred decided, oh yeah, the Astros are cheating. We were told they were cheating. Oh, now we have to do something about it. The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Does your youth hockey team want to play in front of thousands of fans? Make it happen with the Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program presented by Kia. Visit chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn more.
So I saw something late in the show yesterday, and Rick and Jay both saw it as well, and Jay brought it up in the show meeting. Like, hey, we should get to this. This matters. We were talking so much about the Bears and the press conference between Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy that we didn't want to do a whole lot of baseball yesterday. But today, I can't quit this. I can't not think about how this matters. This is Tom Verducci, right? Noted baseball scribe and talker on broadcasts, all that kind of stuff. Tom Verducci pointed out something about the Astros cheating scandal and how it actually played in a game, how it actually mattered in a postseason effort, and not how it mattered so much necessarily for the success of the Astros, but the downfall of the guy they were working against. In this case, it's Clayton Kershaw. Here's Tom Verducci working you through how the Astros worked over Clayton Kershaw.
Now, looking back with the knowledge we have that, in fact, the Astros were using a sign-stealing scheme in the postseason, boy, deep in its soul, that's got to hurt to know that that game was not played on a level playing field. And it's interesting, when I went back and looked at this game, and again, you're looking at it in hindsight with more knowledge we have now than we had then. Kershaw threw 51 sliders and curveballs that day and got zero swings and misses on them.
Mercy.
I mean, that alone will make you start thinking that something was up.
Well, that, Tom, and you know, you're talking about him paying the biggest price. This guy has been ridiculed for his lack of production in the postseason. You have to look at him differently.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, if that game is played on a level playing field and he is the MVP, you know, you don't hear any more about, can this guy win the big game?
Wow. That's, I mean, Harold Reynolds with the rare and interesting point there. But that's, it matters. I mean, doesn't that change somewhat your conversation about an all-time great? Doesn't that change just a little bit? I mean, if they're able to do that against Clayton Kershaw, presumably he's working with average Clayton Kershaw breaking stuff that day. 51 sliders and curves, and not a single swing and a miss.
One of the greatest pitchers who's ever walked the planet.
What are they able to do against Guy?
Well, that's,
you know,
that's,
what are they able to do against anybody?
I don't know if the lawsuit is still, it hasn't been thrown out yet, but Mike Bolsinger, when he actually filed suit and to say that this is, they defrauded him out of an opportunity because he never pitched in the majors again after they lit him up, and it's obviously not going to go anywhere.
But I don't know about that. It might last in court for a little while, but the problem with Bolsinger's suit is that he launched it in California for some beneficial labor laws there. And he did that because Jim Crane has a house and some business in California, is an investor in the Astros from there. But I have to imagine that California court's going to toss that out. It probably belongs in a Texas court. So that's going to be Bolsinger's first issue.
Yeah, there's just too many variables, too, that you can't prove what would otherwise have happened. He may also suck.
He could, right? Yeah, you'd have to, the proof there is, did it affect you on that day, or did you also suck on that day? That's going to be really difficult to prove to a court, especially if it's one that has to be explained baseball while they're being sitting down at voir dire.
And they start talking about variance and some of that stuff too. But man, when you see, it's when you Darvish, we know what he went through. Clayton Kershaw couldn't get a swing and miss on a non-fastball. Is he 51?
51 sliders and curves.
51 breaking pitches, not a single swing and miss.
It's half your night. And that, those are the pitches that are designed to get swings and misses.
And, you know, I keep swinging back and forth in how I feel because I listen to a lot of smart people talk about this. Not Harold Reynolds, who may be a smart guy, but he's not a smart baseball guy. This is a guy who said that...
He did pop in a nice little observation there, though.
Yeah, but good for you. Remember, Harold Reynolds is also the same guy who said that now that Chris Bryant is a leadoff hitter, he's only going to hit 11 home runs.
Yes, and that's a problem.
And I can't understand why he would think that because Chris Bryant is still... ostensibly Chris Bryant.
Well, because he's going to work in at bat differently, because he's going to lay down a lot of bunts, I guess, in the leadoff spot.
Yeah, I don't know where it comes from, this idea. It's like, well, now Chris Bryant, because he's batting there in the order, it changes who he is.
Now he turns into Lance Johnson.
Fundamentally. I just thought it was one of the strangest comments I'd ever heard. But Joe Sheehan has been very strong on the point of the Astros are also really good.
Sure.
It isn't just this. This gave them some advantage, but it wasn't the sum total of their ability. Their lineup is still potent. He said, what are people going to do when they win 97 games this year? He said, they are still really, really, really good.
Well, if the question is the question, what are people going to do when they win 97 games this year? Because of how baseball and Rob Manfred have handled this issue.
You think, what are they doing now?
Yes.
How now are they cheating?
There's going to be a solid portion of baseball fans who go, huh? They found out a different way. Or those buzzers must be real small now. Maybe they put it in somebody's shoe. Maybe they figured out a different way to do it. As much as has already been shown that they adapted what they were doing. I mean, it was all of this talk about how they were just cheating at home and they weren't cheating on the road. And then it comes out, no, they had a system on the road. They had a way to do it on the road. And they may have adapted things afterward. Once Danny Farquhar airs them out a little bit, and everybody's seen that video of White Sox reliever Danny Farquhar stepping off the mound as you've got the trash-banging scheme going on in the dugout. They noticed. They had to adapt it then. Baseball is a game of adjustments, right? Why wouldn't those schemes also change? My wonderment, I guess, over the last couple of weeks has been, okay, so you have the camera in center field, right?
Yep.
And you're trying to find out the catcher's signs. At some point, you know, we heard it from Jonathan Lucroy as he just got signed to, what was it, Red Sox camp, I think, for Lucroy, that they noticed that they were on stuff. You know, they're just on it more. And when Clayton Kershaw throws 51 sliders and curveballs and doesn't get a single swing and a miss, you figure, okay, they're on something here. So you try and switch the signs up. At some point, the Astros realize, okay, they've switched the signs. And maybe these are tougher. Maybe we're just not getting these fast enough. What's stopping you from aiming that camera somewhere other than the catcher's signs? Look at the pitcher's hand. Look at the grip.
Yep.
You can't change that. You start shooting the actual grip in the glove. And if you can get that, if you've got that angle, if you figure that out, and you're relaying it real time, remember that, real time, then you're doing something different. You're doing something that's almost unstoppable.
We're not going to have the opportunities allowed anymore for the real-time stuff because I think they're going to rip the cameras out of
and
there.
And that's the issue at hand for me. Because if you're on the field and relaying signs back and forth, like you've always done, right? Fine. That's an acceptable amount of, I figured out what you're doing, or I can see. To me, it's a little bit like being, you know, playing football where, you know, you look at an offensive lineman's hand, and if you see white in their knuckles, they're pressed forward and planning on run blocking. We were talking to Anthony Heron about this a couple of weeks ago, right? And if they're not, they're pass blocking. That's the same kind of thing to me. That's all well within the game. It's what you can figure out as a competitor. When you have somebody outside, literally outside the park itself, or at least on the other side of the wall, looking stuff at real time and relaying the information, that's where it's clear and obviously cheating for me.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of, in football, stealing the opposing headset communication.
Sure.
That's what that is. And that probably has happened.
I guarantee you that's happened. And it will. And that's why I don't think, and I don't like that we're there, but the extra technology to monitor the technology doesn't seem like a solid solution for me, at least not in time to cure as much as what you can for the 2020 season because you just keep on hacking the next technology. Stepping back a little bit here and taking that real-time access away from teams seems to me the best way to do it for the 2020 season until you get your stuff figured out.
You know, how much bad fortune has Clayton Kershaw had? How much, like,
well, he's got a whole boatload of money.
I know.
So at least there's that.
I know, but some of the injuries and
sure.
and some of the things that have gone on, the timing of some of his injuries, and then this.
Look at some of the hits the Cardinals got off of him in like two different postseason games, if not for an inch here, inch yep. there. That ball doesn't go down the line from Holiday, I think, and you've got a completely different ball game. He hangs a breaking ball. I think it's Holiday again, pounds him for a 3-run shot. Yeah, I mean, that's some bad luck.
And you could probably think, you could if you retrace the steps, if the Astros don't steal Darvish's signs, do the Cubs end up with Darvish?
I think there's less of a chance.
Right?
I mean, we talked about, when we were talking about the Cubs' options at the deadline and their opportunities to make their team better because it looked like they were going to have to trade somebody, we're talking about Yu Darvish's contract now looks reasonable. Looks like a really nice deal for somebody to go pick up if you wanted to make that move. It would be really tough to do. I don't think that deal exists if he's not gotten rocked in a couple of postseason appearances. It's probably wealthier than that.
Yeah, and he comes off saying, I guess I was tipping my pitches. I guess, well, no, there was a camera stealing the signs. There was an artificial intelligence. There was machine learning going on to figure out what the sequences were based on everything that they saw. And it's not your fault. It's okay. Even the teams, and there's been a popular response for people to say, you know what? If you know they're doing it, you can keep changing your signs. You can have like one of these embedded Citrix programs, essentially, that rolls over signs and makes it so they can't figure it out fast
enough. Encoding them, essentially, right?
Yeah, but you're talking about baseball players doing this on their own and having, like Danny Farquhar did, say, look, we got to change this up. Do you know the stress that places on a baseball team? Do you know how unfair it is to ask a team to essentially keep encoding and keep encoding and keep encoding just so they can throw a damn pitch?
Yeah.
That's not how the game is supposed to be. Obviously, you got to know the signs. Know the indicator, know the signs, and if somebody picks up the indicator and knows a guy's stealing and throws over and picks a guy off, that comes with the territory. But if you're talking about having to outsmart a computer and having to work ahead of a computer and a camera,
right.
That's not a reasonable ask.
It's not, and more than that's not the way it's supposed to be played, that's not what I'm all that interested in watching. I don't want to watch these guys have to go over those hurdles too. It's already hard enough to hit a damn breaking ball. I don't want to have to watch them do the next three steps in their head before they throw a pitch. And at some point, and this is where Rob Manfred has refused to really do anything, at some point, you are going to lose even the most hardcore, some, not all, but some of even the most hardcore baseball fans. And it won't be guys, it won't be swearing off baseball. It won't be never watching it again because of what's happened, but it'll be I watch 20 less games, which means maybe I don't need the MLB.TV subscription that I've bought the last couple of years. You can just get by with my cable and watch whatever game I pick up. I'm not saying, you know, me personally, because I watch it for work, but I'm saying the guy that would watch all these games otherwise steps back just a little bit, and you drop your funds there, you drop your overall revenue there, and this golden age that baseball is experiencing because they've put their product in as many places as they reasonably, or at least to their mind, reasonably can, even though they're so short when it comes to the NBA on where they put their product, that golden age starts to maybe dry up just a little bit.
And sure, think about the canard of length of game, where baseball's fixated on length of game, that they think, you know, cutting it down from 3 hours and 20 minutes to 3 hours and 5 minutes is going to make a fundamental difference in the future of their sport. Even if you believe any of that, and I don't,
nope.
I think it's sort of a fool's errand, that if you force a team to have more mound visits, to change their signs to every time call it, by the way, now this is this and now this is that. It's another reason for a game to get even slower and more tedious, because all they're worrying about is encoding and versus decoding. And you're saying that has to be an important part of the job. That takes time and nobody wants to watch that.
No one wants it. It's like watching coaches coach or managers manage. Like, nobody wants to watch that kind of nuance happen. I want to watch the ball in play. That's the one thing that they've actually understood, and the methods they've put into baseball, I don't think have increased the rate of ball in play all that much. Not enough to conquer a whole other marketplace and all a bunch of, you know, kids that aren't watching a whole lot of baseball to begin with.
Yeah, somebody says, anybody have a camera on the third base coach? Well, it's different. I don't know how you would, I'm sure you could encode, you know, arm, bill of cap, leg, belt, ear. You know, that it's when you're doing with numbers, you can just punch in a computer. That if your signals were 2-3-2-3-4.
Yeah, I guess you could assign each, you know, place a number value and then run through there, right? Shoulder is 1, right shoulder is 2, and work it that way.
You could, but then you'd...
More difficult.
That would be easy then for a third base coach to just change, you know, grab my ass, spin around,
right.
You know, spit water through my nose.
But remember where this started. This wasn't some sort of advanced algorithm that got this started for the Astros.
The indicator is removal of pants.
I think they've got the hit and run on.
I was like, left arm, right arm, hat, left arm, removal of pants.
What? Hold on. Wait, I think they're doing something here.
I think a play is on.
Step out of the box. I think we're running something.
He's waving his wiener. Well, that's the takeoff sign. That means whatever play was on is now off.
No, but remember, seriously... Remember where this started? This was an intern who brought this idea to the Astros and was running the complicated math in an Excel spreadsheet. That's not that in the realm of job postings for artificial intelligence creation, that's not all that complicated. We've gone from equals sum open parentheses to a much bigger world of how math is involved in potential cheating in baseball.
This segment is brought to you by Nutrisystem for Men. Make a resolution to lose weight with Nutrisystem for Men. Just like Molly from the Morning Show, who lost some weight over the past 3 months. Join today. When you buy your first month of food, you'll get a month absolutely free. Go to Nutrisystem.com/radio to get started. Speaking of food, these are the times in which we live right now that apparently there are stories wondering if fake meat like Beyond and Impossible and some of the stuff is okay for Lent, or is it enough like meat?
What?
That's what people are asking this question. I've seen 3 stories today asking this question for observant Catholics and other Lent observing Christians, whether or not the Impossible Burger or Beyond Meat counts as meat.
Oh God, just right? Eat it.
I'll give those up for Lent.
There you go.
Give up the Impossible Burgers for Lent?
Yes.
Yeah.
So nobody got schmutzed today. I thought I would come in here and see all 3 of you.
Well,
getting,
you know, it was
gotten schmutzed.
It was the weather. You know, it was windy and snowy out there, and plus I'm wearing a hat, so I would have had it smudged off.
Are they even like open for business that early? Because like my train leaves at before 5:30.
Oh, they're open for business.
Is there like a drive through on Ash Wednesday? I mean, do they have somebody stationed?
Go get a fillet of fish and some ashes.
Okay. I mean, maybe they could do...
I don't think there's a light mass on Ash Wednesday.
No.
I think you got to go for the whole hog.
Kit and caboodle.
Yeah, I think it's everything.
Because I was listening, there was a radio station yesterday where they were talking about Fat Tuesday and both of the hosts referred to it as getting schmutzed. And I said, well, that's kind of ironic that you use the Yiddish word for dirt when describing... Is it the ashes of the cross that are across the chest?
Yeah, no, it's across your chest. No, you get the cross up on your forehead.
Well, I know you get the cross, but it's what is actually burned symbolically? Is it supposed to transubstantiate
No. That is symbol. It's actually the ashes are made from the palms from last year's Palm Sunday.
Okay.
So it's kind of this whole circle sort of thing, ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Oh.
Yeah. It's actually kind of a beautiful symbolism.
No, that makes sense.
It's a whole circle, right? Okay. That which welcomes Jesus into the town is burned for ashes that commemorate our ending in dust.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
The priest always says, remember that you are dust and unto dust you shall return.
Right. Great, thanks. Happy Wednesday to you,
too. That's in your book, too. That's in Genesis, for God's sake.
I know, but the reminder of it is like, I'm not always aware of that enough.
Don't forget, you're going to die. Here you go.
Anyway,
go Bears!
Wear this all day.
And go Bears. Yep. That'll make you want to die. All right, porn.
From the church to porn.
I inadvertently found myself...
Now that's a left turn.
I inadvertently found myself at the center of a very specific kind of porn. And...
To which I keep asking, aren't they all pretty specific?
They are. We're going to open a new tab in your incognito porn browser.
They'll find it anyway.
It's sports porn, and we're going to bring in Connor's person to help delete his...
Clear your internet history.
Clear his internet history after he becomes dust. That's coming up next. Burst into McKnight on the Score. Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Thursday when they host Illinois at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. I don't know why I felt compelled to do this, but I was throwing a ball with my son over the weekend because we had to sort of knock the rust off for baseball.
It was nice.
And we were over at Bradley Sports in a cage doing that.
Well, it was still nice.
That's
even nicer.
Yeah,
though.
It is. And he always asks me about my glove. He's like, "When are you going to get a new glove?" I said, "I don't need a new glove. I love my glove. I love it." It's as we were always taught at North Star Camp, your glove is your best friend. Treat your glove like you treat your best friend. And I've had mine since 1989. I've got an outfielder's glove and an infielder's glove. And
right.
I was always a Rawlings guy. Always. I was always a dedicated Rawlings. They just fit my hand better.
Yeah.
And I've tried. I have nothing against Wilson gloves.
Sure.
My son's got a Wilson glove. He's got, what does he have now? Like a.
Does he got a Nike or something?
DeMarini.
Oh, yeah.
He's super swaggy with like all sorts of stuff hanging off of it. And
the kids love that stuff. All the strings hanging off.
The strings. And he's sort of making fun of me. I said, you know what? I'm sorry. I love my glove. And I took a nice little picture of it, and I just said, the kid always looks askance at my college outfield glove, but I'm not having any of it. And then with a hat tip and a tag of Super 70s Sports, which is one of my favorite follows, I said, this sweet bastard cost $200 in 1989 and is still in fine form.
$200?
That's what Heart of the Hide, Rawlings Heart of the Hide.
Those are good ones.
In 1989.
Yeah.
Those were the pro gloves. That was the best glove you could buy. The equivalent would be the Wilson, like A2000 or A3000.
I think that's right.
Would be the equivalent. So as of now, that tweet has now made 320,494 impressions.
Glove.
With 48,173 total engagements with 860 likes. And the responses from people... It got a little crazy because then people started tweeting pictures of their original gloves from back in the day in various conditions. So what I learned in the world of glove porn, and that's what this, I had no idea the emotions attached to baseball gloves. First of all, some of my college teammates were like, yeah.
I found my glove.
Right. They say, at least you got in the game enough to use it every once in a while. They say, what was it? I think Rob Ludeman said something like, your whole job was to entertain people in the dugout and keep everybody laughing. But the number of people who felt really strongly about Wilson, and then Wilson gets tagged in. And they were really strongly about Rawlings, and Rawlings gets tagged in. And people said, look, I played in the minors, and this is the love. This is my college glove, or this is the one I still have. And so people then said, this needs a little neatsfoot oil, or it needs a little mink oil. And I used to be a glove oil guy until there was pushback for the added weight. Because oil doesn't evaporate, and oil will leave your glove heavy, where lanolin and or shaving cream, some of the different shaving creams will evaporate, and your glove will be conditioned without being heavier. So there is a subcategory, the sub-tabs here of oil versus non-oil, Wilson versus Rawlings, and fastback versus the normal back, different webbings. I mean, the basket webbing versus the trap webbing versus
the webbing.
That's what I had. This is a Pro H. And there's now variations of this one, but this is like one of the H webs that my glove happened to be. It's considered apparently a classic model of glove.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know this H web. That's what the Griffey glove had, H web. If I remember right, yeah. What was the first player glove you had? Because
player gloves, those are toys.
Of course they are. But
those aren't real. Those aren't your competitive gloves.
And yet I don't have mine because I got lost in a move or something like that. But mine was an Ozzie Smith. It was the very first one.
I had three name gloves. My first was a Jeff Burrows. My second was a Tom Seaver. That's still in my parents' house in the garage somewhere.
Yeah.
And the third one was a Dave Parker.
Oh.
And it was after that I graduated to real gloves.
I lost a gamer at one point, too, because of a move.
You know,
one of my first ones.
I had one stolen out of my car.
I still have a Heart of the Hide, which, by the way, what did you pay for that? $200 in 1989?
Yeah, Heart of the Hide in 89 was $200.
They don't run that much more. They're like I'm sure you can upgrade and customize and stuff. And once you start customizing gloves, I'm sure it's a little bit like shoes. Like you pay what you feel like paying. But you can get a Heart of the Hide for like $260. That's not that much more. 1989 to now?
I think if you actually account for inflation.
It'd be like $400.
Right. It'd be approximately
probably a little bit more
from 89. Yeah. So it's interesting how that is. It, does that means production? I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe there's more good cows.
Maybe.
Or maybe they've made the leather a little bit cheap. Maybe they're just not using leather. It's quite as good.
It's possible. I mean, my Heart of the Hide feels like it's never going to die. You know, I mean, like it still has that sense to it. But I've got a couple of gloves, though, because once you go to, you know, I didn't play college ball like you did. But once you go play, well, still, it matters. Once you start playing like softball, then you buy the first baseman's mitt. You
right.
Know? Then you buy the giant, you know, 14, 16 inch mitt or whatever you're playing with in the outfield or something.
I have a Rawlings softball glove too. I've got it's called a silverback. It's a black glove with silver trim.
Yeah.
It was all I needed.
Those just never, you get like a 14 inch glove like that, yeah. And it just never feels like you look down and you're like, I'm not playing actual. This is wrong. I can't do this. This is basically cheating. I might as well be Carlos Correa or Jose Altuve with this glove. That's how big this thing is. It feels like cheating.
Yeah, I do think something changed about the Wilson. Maybe it just feels differently to me now because my son got a Wilson A1000 infield glove. And I put it on because my hand's only a little bit bigger than his now at this point. And I put it on, and it actually felt great. And it was weird. This A1000 fit my hand absolutely perfectly.
Huh. Finger out, finger in.
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 In. On this glove.
See, it depends on the glove.
It's got to be, yeah. I don't make up my mind until I feel how it feels. It's funny because when we bought this glove, we found it at Play It Again Sports, and they had to sell it as used even though it was new.
Why?
I don't know. Like somebody returned it or something. Oh, so there was this incredible price. Like, oh, we got to buy this. And my son's like, you know, I can't buy it without throwing. So the guy who works at Play It Again, it's like, I'll throw in the parking lot with you. So we go outside, and the guy clearly looks like an athlete.
Knows what he's doing.
And they start throwing, and it was like...
like a backfield.
Yeah, I mean, and the guy, and everything's right here. Everything's like... And my son gives me a look like, holy crap, this guy's really throwing hard. And it was good. And like quick exchanges,
yeah.
And a little crow hop, and all right. And he's like, Dad, I got to get this glove. I said, all right, well, let's go. Let's see what kind of credit we have. Let's get the glove. And I asked the guy, I'm like, where did you play baseball? Because I thought for sure this guy played professional. I would have scouted him as like A ball.
I want this to be full circle, and it's Brian LaHare.
No, at some point the guy played A ball. He was a former Dallas Cowboys practice squad quarterback.
No way!
Like played at Purdue, and yeah.
No way!
Yeah, he's like, you know, he said I gave up baseball when I started playing football. He's like, you know, he said. But he was a professional thrower of
clearly
things.
Knew what he was doing.
He said I was in a camp with the Cowboys. I backed up Troy Aikman a little while. I was in the room with them.
Purdue quarterback that would have backed up Troy Aikman. It was, Texters.
This guy was, I mean, the arm not gone.
Some velocity. To
yes.
It. So we're
he
taking.
Went, he went to Purdue. So he's like Drew Brees.
Just like Drew Brees.
Oh, the Drew Brees comps are automatic.
Just like Drew Brees.
So when is Ryan Pace going to that play?
To the play.
We're very excited about this skate sharpening that I just did.
We're taking gloves to the scorehouse? Is that the plan? We took them last year.
I haven't looked at the layout. We did take gloves last year.
Because we had to. We were so geeked up about it.
Ever since I brought my glove to Paris. So my son and I could throw a ball in the gardens.
That
there,
makes sense. I get that. Gardens. Like as weird as that sounds to say, I brought my glove to Paris.
The looks that we got from people, they're like, what is this thing that they're doing? And it was fun. People thought it was sort of cool. And then they lost my luggage in Belgium.
That's no good.
And I was freaking out because it was the suitcase. It was only because of my glove. That was that glove, the Pro H was
right.
In it. And it's floating around somewhere in Belgium.
Well, yeah, pack the glove in the carry-on.
I know.
That's
that
what you
now.
Do. You shove it in the backpack that you're carrying on.
I know that now.
With all of your whatever else you're bringing to scorehouse.
I'm not, but maybe hopefully other people
I know
are.
Someone else who is.
Somebody better be. I would hope so.
That's what happens at scorehouse. We bring gloves. That's what we're talking about. Just gloves.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. Nothing else. Yeah, nothing else. That was fun last year to see because Shep played at a fairly high level. He played high school.
Oh,
forever.
Shep's a good player. I played softball with Shep for a few years. Yeah, he's a damn good player.
So a tweet from Dale. He said, Tony Perez and Cesar Cedeno.
Were his first gloves? Yes. His first player gloves?
Yes. Glove porn. Glove porn is a thing.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
There's a reason. And here's the fun part. If you ask... if you've got the opportunity and you're in the Major League clubhouse and every player has the gamer, right? And then the one that they're breaking in. What I always thought was fun is, you know, you'd talk to players or whatever, and you'd ask them about the glove that they're breaking in, the one they're working on. Pitcher's a little different. That's not quite the same dynamic, but every position player have one that they're breaking in, that they're working on. And you ask, like, okay, when is this one ready? I remember asking Matt Davidson, I think in 2016, when he thinks this thing that he's been working on will be ready. And he's like, I don't know, maybe 2 years from now. I'm like, what? So he'd been working on it for 6 months and was still breaking in a glove that he was hoping would be ready in about 2 years. That's how attached. I know.
That's not right. That's fetishism.
So I made a joke. I was like, Matt, is that because you're just DHing now?
Yeah, no. That's,
and he gave me the dirty look and walked away. That was the man's plan.
That's fetishism. And the 815 says, you don't put your hand in another person's glove, monster.
You ask.
No, it's my son.
Well, that's different.
It's, come on.
But still, if you're going to...
I know.
If you're going to handle another man's glove, you ask.
Yeah, that's the worst thing. If
do you mind if I...
Somebody sweats in it, right, and it can reshape it.
And you don't take offense. If the guy's like, no, I do mind. I've got it set exactly where I want it, and it's the grips. Yeah, you just... Fine.
This guy's mad. The 970. Listen to the rich people telling me my glove is a toy. If there is a signature of a player in it, it's a toy. If it's a real glove... It doesn't have anyone's signature in it.
Right. I mean, where do you land on this? One day I was out and was going to go play, didn't have the glove, grabbed one of like the $60, $80 ready fit, already pre-broken in.
Yeah.
I think it was a Nike glove. I still have it.
Uh-huh.
It's fine, but I know that's not a real glove.
Right.
That's just a thing that also works as a glove. It's not quite there yet.
Right.
And that's fine. You can play with those.
I mean, the different levels of this is glove with your name embroidered on it is probably the highest level.
Yeah.
Right? When the company makes one with your name on it.
Right.
That's the highest level. The next level is getting the very same glove.
Without your name.
Without your name on it.
Or custom laces or something like that, a custom color way.
Yeah, you can take it to a guy. Sure. There's a guy, because I used to do that for teammates in college, I mean, for friends. I have the kit and I've got the thing and I would relace things.
Get that done on the website. Like you customize Jordans. You could do colorways and everything.
Yeah, I found that very satisfying doing glove work and relacing and stuff. Some of those like light tan leather gloves with the maroon laces.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
And some guys like it tighter or looser in a given area, depending. Like, there's some very specific, like, you really get the custom gloves.
Oh, yeah.
Some guys like it. The fingers are too tight. They want a little more spread in there, a little more, a little play, a little action, that. But,
So now you're going to send me down the Instagram spiral where I'm just watching glove refurbishing glove lacing stuff.
If you're getting something that says Mike Trout on it,
And you're not Mike Trout.
You're not Mike Trout. That's a kid's glove.
If you're Mike Trout and you're listening and you have a glove that has your name on it, we're not saying
No, that's fine. You keep doing what you're doing.
It's
all good. Do what he do. The segment is brought to you by Indeed. Indeed is used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire. When we come back, I've got a pair of tickets to see the Black Keys, Gary Clark Jr., and the Marcus King Band at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on July 25th. You got to keep it here if you want to win. You have the score. Give me a digit, McKnight.
3.
1, 2, 3.
The number of the counting shall be 3. And caller 3 to the contest line, 312-591-6700, wins a pair of tickets to see the Black Keys, Gary Clark Jr., and the Marcus King Band at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on July 25th. So congrats on winning and good luck.
And remember, if you haven't got yourself squared away at Camp One Step, do so. It's coming up tomorrow night.
The cutoff for online registration is 5 o'clock today. Please come play poker with us. If you're on the
fence. Or just come hang out.
We want you to play because it's fun and it's a great night. And the best reason is that it helps kids with cancer enjoy the simple joys of childhood. So it's CampOneStep.org, CampOneStep.org. You can get signed up online up until 5 o'clock.
Looking forward to seeing you all there. This segment brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Believing is seeing. Schedule your free consultation today. Transition is coming up with Matt Spiegel, I think. Yes, Spiegs.
Solo Spiegs?
Is on the way. Oh, we'll talk to him in just a minute. You got the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.